In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was very pleased this year to discover that Tax Day is a movable holiday. Very few holidays on the church calendar will take precedence of a Sunday, because on Sundays we always celebrate the feast of the resurrection of our Lord. So we call the other feasts movable feasts, because we'll move them to the next convenient weekday so they won't interfere with a Sunday. And it looks like Tax Day also respects this convention. So taxes are funny things. Taxes are often looked upon with fear and horror. Someone is taking away something that is mine. We say that taxes are inevitable, like death, that they are merciless, bringing to an end our hopes and our dreams. Do not be afraid. When Jesus was asked about paying taxes, he pointed out that the coinage used was the government's coinage. Taxes are the cost of using the government's monetary system. Taxes can be difficult to pay because we get used to thinking of money and the power that it represents as our own. But if you look at a coin or a banknote, you'll see that it's actually the property of another entity. That's not your name that's printed on it. It's the government's money. And that money and the power or the potential that it carries is on loan to us from the government. It's best that we don't get too attached to it, because that money will always serve its master first. It will always serve the issuing government first, and us only secondarily. Now, this is the third Sunday in a row that we're reading about Jesus' resurrection appearances. And the third Sunday in a row when the main words we hear repeated in our gospel reading over and over are, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid." Are you hearing a theme, a pattern? When Jesus showed back up in his disciples' lives after the crucifixion, they were so afraid and so depressed, you might have thought it was tax day. The scriptures had foretold the death of Jesus, but the disciples had not been willing to hear it. Jesus had represented many things to them, including power. The disciples had particular hopes and expectations around Jesus, and they had invested their identities in these expectations. But when Jesus was crucified, all those hopes were dashed, and the disciples felt like fools. Now, like currency, the disciples were used to thinking of their lives as their own, and of their hopes as the very definition of good. The disciples still didn't comprehend that even Jesus' life was not his own. Like currency that has been stamped with the name of the government that printed it, so each human being is stamped with the image of God. Jesus was aware of this like no one else has ever been, and that awareness enabled Jesus to turn over his life to God's purpose without the wincing and the complaining that usually accompanies the payment of taxes. Jesus wasn't just doing his duty. Jesus was finding and fulfilling his identity, his purpose. So can you hear the difference in perceptions here? From Jesus' point of view, everything that was happening was the will of God and had been planned from time immemorial. Even the prophets had caught glimpses of what would happen and reported it. And so Jesus was living into God's will for him. Jesus was finding fulfillment by living into God's purpose. But the disciples, living the same events, saw those events as utter failure and existential threat. They were left drowning, gasping for breath, and wondering if the Romans, who had just executed their Lord, were going to come back around for them. The disciples failed to recognize that the purposes they favored and God's purposes were two distinct things. And so Jesus' crucifixion and death made no sense to them whatsoever. Now the good news is that even though I disagree vehemently with many specific actions of our government, overall, much good is accomplished by the taxes that I pay. Trade is facilitated. Just verdicts are frequently rendered for the orphan and the widow. The poor are helped in a variety of ways. We live here in a context of amazing privilege and freedom, and that is made possible in large part by those taxes we pay. The payment of taxes does not take money away from me. Instead, it enables all the good things that I am able to take for granted so that I can have great freedom and great privilege. Now, in our gospel today, Jesus greets his disciples with a prayer for peace, and he seeks to soothe their fears. Jesus invites his disciples to touch him, to feel his skin and his bones, to know that he's not a ghost. Next, Jesus eats a piece of fish. I suppose that way his disciples can know that he's not a zombie either. What's going on in the gospel today is the fulfillment of God's purpose. What's going on is, in a word, resurrection. Jesus explains the scriptures to his disciples and leads them to an understanding of what was, only moments before, unthinkable. Jesus' destiny, from the very start, was a cross and death. Because it was only by dying that Jesus could demonstrate the resurrection power of God at work in the world. It was only by dying that Jesus could show his disciples that they were stamped with the image of God, and that death is no obstacle to the fulfillment of God's purposes in them. Jesus is intent on forming his disciples into credible witnesses of the resurrection, capable of transmitting that belief to others in an unbroken chain that leads all the way down to you and me. I read this week that life is designed for mutuality, and we live by exchanges. That is the stamp of the Trinitarian God, the God whose very nature is community, the nature that has been imprinted on each of our souls. That is the stamp that we acknowledged in baptism. It is by our interactions with God and with God's world that we grow and we become the people that God created us to be. We engage in these exchanges of mutuality in a variety of ways. We encounter God in the prayers of the daily office or the prayers we offer at meals. We encounter God in contemplation, in mindful living, and in spiritual conversations. God invites us to see God's presence in the world today and to recognize that all reality holds together in God. And that's what we do as we celebrate the rites in the church. Jesus invites us to touch him in service. This looks like all kinds of things, from serving on the altar guild or the vestry or teaching a children's class or simply rehearsing the lessons at home before preparing to read them in church. We touch Jesus when we volunteer with the Kitchen of Hope or we prepare a meal for Family Promise. We can touch the risen Lord as we serve in our schools or in the Lions Club or in relationships with our neighbors. we find and we fulfill our purpose in part in the ways that we give. That means signing and fulfilling a pledge card at church. It means giving to other worthy causes. It means remembering the church in your will. It means caring for those in need. It means leaving a generous tip at a restaurant. It means giving proportionally and sacrificially from your means as you remember that the source of everything you have and the ultimate purpose for all that you have having been given into your stewardship. The message of the gospel, handed down from ages past, has become our inheritance and our responsibility. We too are stamped with the divine image of God. We too have been baptized into Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and marked as Christ's own forever. Like Jesus, we exist for a purpose that includes, but goes far beyond, work and taxes and recreation. And so Jesus continues to do the same work in us today that he did with his disciples. Jesus continues to teach us what it means to be made in the image of God and to have a purpose that extends far beyond little concepts like death and taxes. So I wish you a good tax day. And I encourage you to pray with me that more good than evil will be done with our tax dollars. Do not be afraid. Those things that look like loss and death are not beyond God's redeeming. As you and I look to Christ, God's purpose in us will be fulfilled. Not even death nor taxes can stand in the way. And the funny thing about God is that in God's almighty hands, even death and taxes might prove useful to the cause.